Taylor, here we are. Let's catch up. And I was angry last week. I think, you know, we started and I was just, for some reason, hot about missed call.
I can't remember what you were hot about last week.
I was upset about, I thought the Colts really beat the Browns at the end of that game. And then the drive was extended by defensive holding. I was mad. This week, instead of mad, I feel like we're sad a little bit.
Kirk Cousins. Out for the season, most likely.
Oh,
you got to wonder: do the Vikings wish that they had possibly traded them now?
Look, this team started 0-3 clearly, and since 4-1, and the team just looks so different. And really, credit to Kirk Cousins. Credit to O'Connell, credit to the entire organization, especially doing it without Justin Jefferson. I'm sorry, but this is just, it's a shame. It's really, really a shame because it felt in some ways like this team was figuring something out. The Vikings were sort of becoming the team that we thought they could be coming into the season. Now, granted,
I see what you're saying. I think that Kirk Cousins was playing well and he's a very likable quarterback, but I don't think that they had a team to go far. They're in a very bad division.
It's fair that you
say they got the Lions and that's it. But then we saw what the Lions did outside of the division last week. I mean, I don't think that the Vikings were going to go that far this year, but I do feel bad for Kirk Cousins. Nobody ever wants to see somebody get injured.
Of course. And it's just a shame. You see that team and you think, all right, here they are again, you know, just with that. I mean, that ugly 0-3 start and it seemed like all was lost. And then now you look and technically this is a playoff team. The playoffs obviously do not start today, week 8, but this is a team that was just beginning to put something together more so than earlier in the season. It seemed that everything kind of fell against them. And again, remember, this is a team that won every one possession game, it seemed, last season, of course, except for the most important one at the end of the season when they lost to the Giants in the playoffs. But now this season, it wasn't going their way, and one possession games weren't flying their way. And it felt like they had all the answers against the Packers on Sunday. And to lose Kirk is obvious. You know, you would think this is kind of the end of it. And to your point, maybe there wasn't.
They might have had all the answers against a Packers team that is struggling.
Oof. That's absolutely ugly. So the bottom line is it's really just one of those things. It's sort of a slow tear down our cheek because maybe you said, again, Cousins being as likable as he is, and I, you know, how much does that have to do with the Netflix show Quarterback, where we all seem to get a glimpse of what he's really like away from the game? Of course, he's got that awesome moment. You like that? And yes, we all do like that, Kirk. And it's so, it's just a shame. It's a shame because Minnesota was seemingly learning something, becoming something. And of course, you know, the Monday night.
The quarterback who is now open and potentially could possibly get traded is Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. Very.
Has Will Levis officially taken over?
That was Levis today. I mean, who saw that coming?
So many teams need a quarterback right now. Matthew Stafford got hurt today.
It was a war of attrition today in so many ways. And it was just ugly to see that. And it's really a shame. Now, somewhere else that was surprising, again, as surprising as Monday night was this past week where the Vikings beat the Niners, seemingly we all knew the Niners had an incredibly difficult game against the Bengals coming up, Taylor, and there was concussion protocol for Purdy, and we weren't exactly clear as to what was going to happen, but wow, you know, for the Niners
Bengals. I feel like we've talked about this ad nauseum, though. It was almost like, okay, yeah, Joe Burrow's banged up right now, but as soon as he gets healthy, here come the Bengals, and that's exactly what's happened. It's like now all of a sudden his ankle is fully healed as of the last couple of weeks, and he's gone 3-0 since he's been fully healthy. He had 3 touchdowns today. They had 3 defensive turnovers, which was huge. It almost seemed like the Bengals' defense was the 49ers defense that we've been talking about all season.
That was an ugly one at home, certainly. For that game, to be in San Francisco, Santa Clara, whatever you want to call it, in the Bay Area, for the Niners to really, and not to say they didn't show up, because again, McCaffrey still does what McCaffrey does. Kittle had an outstanding game. And it was just one of those games where maybe Purdy showed up as the quarterback that many people thought he would, you know, again, this is a quarterback that was the last player drafted. and Mr. Irrelevant being that tag on him. And of course, he's dispelled all of what would normally follow that. And
he didn't have an interception in his first five games. He has five in the last three.
It's, and again, you know, the win streak that everyone is constantly introducing Purdy as the quarterback who has the win streak. And then once he loses on the road, okay, well, he's still got the win streak at home. And then finally, now we can put all of that to rest in a way. However, again, this being, you know, the middle of the season, which it really is, this doesn't necessarily take much away from what the Niners want to do. They're still going to be in position to vie for the NFC. You know, this is likely a team that'll still wind up in the NFC championship game. Certainly they'll be playing divisional weekend, it seems. And the three-game losing streak is ugly. But in so many ways, I feel like maybe this was more about the Bengals. This is more about a Bengals team that started slow. Again, started 0-2 last season and ended up in the AFC championship game. Started 0-2 this season and looks capable of beating anybody. This is the Joe Burrow, as you said, that we all have come to know and love. And this is very much the Bengals team that we've come to know and appreciate and respect in the AFC because they are so capable of beating absolutely anybody. Burrow's got the impressive record against Mahomes as well, head-to-head. We'll get to that in a second. Also, Mixon was very impressive against the Niners as well.
Jamar Chase, and I also think that he spread the ball out very well.
This was
all of his receivers.
This was the Bengals humming. This is the Bengals really hitting it in every direction. And again, what a litmus test. For both teams, what a litmus test. It's so great when the regular season hands
three straight losses for the 49ers. I wonder if they come out of the bye and do something different.
It's interesting, but again, you know, consider the injuries, right? I mean,
Dre Greenlaw, Christian McCaffrey is 100%.
Yeah, without Trent Williams, without Debo, this is just a different Niners team, and we're seeing Purdy under that pressure with that heat in his face. This is the league will do this, right? And the league does learn a lot about you, and Purdy was someone that the league didn't know a whole lot about last season, and since then. Look, it was so remarkable. We were both so impressed that Purdy even started the season based on the injury that ended last year.
Yeah.
And the Niners came out on fire. We kept saying it here. Niners look like the best roster. Niners look like the best team. It's kind of an irrelevant conversation because these things will play themselves out. But Niners three in a row in the loss column, nobody saw this, especially considering really that Cleveland loss, obviously, and frankly, Minnesota from what they were looking like. The Bengals loss, we all could have seen. That would have made sense. Yes, it was a home game for the Niners, but the Bengals were a worthy opponent. I'm sorry, but I think in so many ways that we learn more about Cincinnati.
About the Bengals. I agree with that.
It just feels like that's the team. In other words, if we really were to close our eyes right now and say, all right, which team is where we think they're going to be right now, it's more the Bengals than the Niners. And the Bengals are in that division that we continue to talk about, which the Ravens, of course, are incredibly impressive. The Steelers.
I wouldn't say that one today was super impressive.
But overall,
I think that the Cardinals hung in there for a lot longer than they should have. They allowed them to.
And again, back, you know, at the end of the game. I mean, the Cardinals obviously made that a lot closer at the end of the game. And that'll generally happen. But the Ravens largely, when the game was really in balance, when it was really the end of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, that's when the Ravens started to take charge in that game. And again, you know,
I mean, the Cardinals have the worst second half in the whole league.
The Cardinals love to stick around and then
blow it in the second half.
And that's okay. Look, the Cardinals are playing, waiting on Kyler Murray, of course. And by the way, discovered maybe somebody at the tight end position in what McBride did for them today. But really, again, I think week 8 is going to be one of those where we say, all right, Joe Burrow is healthy.
Somebody brought up an interesting point about Kyler Murray, though. Do you think that Kyler Murray gets traded now? Jonathan Gannon said today that they're going to stick with Josh Dobbs at quarterback.
That's interesting. And depending on what they want to be and what they think this season can be, considering where they are right now, when you look at the overall standings, it seems like this is a Cardinals team obviously playing for the future much more than playing for what this season is going to provide. So pretty fascinating. Again, I always love to look back at the Cardinals and think, you know, this is a team that drafts Rosen with the number one pick at quarterback, and then the next season to draft a quarterback with their number one pick in Murray is just – that always sticks with me, you know, to just immediately know to pivot. So there's a team that's not afraid to pivot off of QB, and that would tell you, but we're going to find out soon enough. You know, Halloween will be very exciting this season with the trade deadline. And so I would say it looks like something's going to happen. Looks like something's going to happen there, which is pretty amazing. Now, Taylor, the most stunning thing from week 8, certainly when you just scroll the scores,
mm-hmm.
see this happening.
The Chiefs loss. To the Broncos of all teams. And now, I will say they played them twice in the last 3 weeks, which is always tough. But I think that Sean Payton, being such a good coach, looked at that film and saw, okay, what's the best way that we – like, what's our best opportunity of trying to beat the Chiefs? And that's beating them on the ground. And that's exactly what they did.
Not just a loss.
If you can prevent them from having the ball in their hands, if you control the clock, the best way to do that, run the ball. And that's exactly what they did.
Not just a loss, by the way, but a game that was seemingly – actually just was never close. It felt even when it was a one possession game.
I also think Taylor Swift not being there maybe played a role.
So
Travis Kelce's production is just way down when she's there.
So admittedly, Kansas City now drops to 2-2 without Taylor in the building. Not this Taylor, but Taylor Swift. And
mm-hmm.
look, it's a cute coincidence, but at the same time, we're keeping track. We're definitely just keeping track. It's just, it's interesting. And I understand it was snowy and cold and maybe, you know, I mean, not a great place to be, you know, for that game in the elements. But
I also feel like Mahomes just had an off game. It's not something that I'm overly worried about. He rarely has those, but he was just off today.
He was sick. By the way, he was sick. I thought this was going to be a Mahomes flu game, sort of one of those Michael Jordan flu games. I thought this was going to be something where we saw Mahomes, you know, despite it all, come out and throw for 4 touchdowns against the Broncos. I mean, he has owned Denver, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes had
12
in a row against the Broncos. The Chiefs had a 16-game win streak versus Denver. And by the way, the Chiefs had gone 40 games without losing by 5 or more points. That's ridiculous. When you talk about just the best team in the league in our recent memory, and I understand Tom Brady has not been out of this league for a very long time, but man, the Chiefs have had a dominant run. The Chiefs have had an incredible run. To not be wiped like this is quite a streak. And to think about this, Taylor, it had been since 2021 that Mahomes had been kept without a touchdown pass. And remember that ugly loss in the Super Bowl to the Buccaneers. Also, he was held without a touchdown pass in that game. But doesn't happen very often. Not often that you're holding Mahomes without a touchdown pass. So Denver. You know, defensively, Denver recently over the last 3 games has given up an average of 15 points as opposed to earlier in the season when they were really just an absolute sieve. And, of course, we understand when you give up 70 to the Dolphins, the numbers are going to be skewed. But this was, again –
I mean, how many times did Russell Wilson throw the ball today? Not that much.
They
basically took it out of his hands, put it in the running back's hands in order for them to win the game.
And frankly, that's been a formula over the years for Denver that has worked. And it feels like, by the way, it's been since Peyton Manning that the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs. I mean, that's a
crazy fact.
That's a while. I mean, that has been a while. But again, just like we asked with the Bengals and the Niners, I mean, do you think that we learned more here? I don't know that we necessarily learned. I feel like I didn't necessarily learn about either team.
I didn't learn a lot about the Broncos. I think that it's just going to go down as one of those fluky Chiefs losses. They had a bad game.
It was bad. I mean, it was particularly bad. It was really historically bad for this team. When you look at Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, this was a historically bad loss. Just really yuck. Let's just chalk it up to absolutely yuck. I don't even know. And again, I don't think at the end of the season we're going to look back and say that this game stamped anything for Denver or for Kansas City. I would say if the Broncos sneak into the playoffs, we'll look back and say something about this game. But Kansas City still very much in the driver's seat in the AFC, although Ravens are knocking, you know.
I think the whole AFC North is knocking.
Yeah, and again, the Bills will still be a factor, and obviously there's a head-to-head game in the regular season there that's still going to play a major factor. But overall, we feel like Kansas City is going to get up for the games that they need to, and then Mahomes is going to be there. And, you know, and again, do we think – you know, I mean, Miami is – back on track 1 week later, but I don't know. It still feels like Miami. Yeah.
I would take those AFC North teams over Miami.
I would say I'm right there with you. All right, Taylor, so much more to catch up with. You know, you alluded to the trade deadline as well. We'll see if something magical happens there. But we can't wait to catch up again. There's going to be so much. And week 8 was just
– And again, by the way, everyone, we finally got Sam's camera, to be clear. Earth-shattering breaking news. Finally. It's week 8. we finally got it. But then I wasn't camera ready tonight, so we didn't do it on camera. But that's next week we will with Sam's crystal clear camera.
Just if everyone can just please just again close your eyes and just picture a beautifully crystal clear. By the way, the hair looks particularly good Sunday night for week 8 as well. But Taylor, we will catch up. We can't.